Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If you listen to this show enough, you've heard Janae say she's looking for a boo. She didn't mean that kind. Lock in, guys.
Not that one, please.
Not that one. Please, no more. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwimike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. It doesn't have to be like that. There's enough time passed. We can all just wrap our arms around this situation. And so the next time Janae steps back on the court in Connecticut, we need to make sure that she is met with cheers. I call on my Connecticut brothers and sisters around here as a CT native. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, it's still not going to happen. They still don't like me.
Nope, definitely not going to happen. But Lord knows we tried and we shouted into the void for it. Now, coming up in about 10 minutes, we want to hit on something. Options being presented to young athletes. It's always a threat to the establishment, but are there always unintended consequences we need to be on the lookout for? That's something to keep an eye on as we explore young basketball players having more options other than the NCAA. But before we get to that, I have Janae really, really bothered on the James Harden front today because we have been celebrating around here. Chugga, 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 choo, choo, the James Harden MVP train. I've been leading the charge on this thing. And so when James Harden rolls back into Houston like he did last night and puts up monster numbers again against the Houston Rockets, his former team, now as a part of the Brooklyn Nets, I'm not surprised. This is what we've been seeing from James Harden. But, Janae, I think the fascinating thing here has been watching people try and rewrite history like we were too critical of James Harden when he was in Houston, when I think a guy who received the MVP, a guy who was credited for being on one of the winningest basketball teams in the NBA during that span, got the appropriate amount of criticism in a sport where the star can impact the game more than any other player in any other sport.
No! Junior, no. People were overly critical of James Harden to the point where we didn't really celebrate what he actually was. LeBron James, a lot of people think, you know, our generation thinks he's the greatest of all time. Giannis Antetokounmpo rode that train two times to MVP. And James Harden, MVP, which is great, but scoring leader, I don't think we had the same positive energy when we talk about appreciating their dominance the way that we had with James Harden with the Houston Rockets. And so now everything's super cute. Like, everything looks good. Everything's great. What he's been able to do has been tremendous, and that's why he should be top three in the MVP conversation. A lot of people might say he's number one. Was that what Kendrick Perkins said today?
That was what me and Kendrick Perkins have been saying. Yes, our ESPN NBA analyst and, listen, former teammate of James Harden sees what's going on now and agrees with me. He should be number one in the MVP voting. But, Janae, I still don't think that has to change what we saw, because in that process, the best version of James Harden, this showed up early in his time
in Houston. It was there in Houston.
The distributor James Harden was there. There were a couple of point guard seasons mixed in there, but there were other times where he had to shoulder the whole load, and it wasn't going to look pretty at those times, but it was effective. Up to a certain point. It had a bit of a ceiling at certain points in time. We saw that. Saying your ceiling is the Golden State Warriors is not the worst criticism in the world. It's an acknowledgement that the style of basketball that they wanted to play with James Harden wasn't the one that was going to last you through a wall that was that high and that hard.
Y'all some crazy people, because whenever you guys start talking slanderous, and I'm talking about James Harden, saying he wasn't this guy, the way he was doing it, blah, blah, blah. This year, he's averaging 11.1 assists, leading the NBA in assists. Well, how about this? In 2016, he averaged 11.2, and in between eight and about 7.5, 8. He's been doing this consistently. Let's look at the points. He's averaging 25 points. We know he could drop 30 at any point. The man was averaging from 29 to more likely 30, 36, and 34 the last few years as well. And so you look at the rebounds. They've consistently been 8, 6, 7. And this year, they're about what? 5? Is it 5? Where is it? I'm trying to look. 8. All right, average, like, the numbers are the same. The love is different. And that's just because we're comfortable with him taking this role and holding it down for the Brooklyn Nets. But we weren't comfortable with his role where he had to drop 36 on a year, 34 on a year, carry the Houston Rockets offensive load in a time where, guess what, they leaned on small ball in a way that no other team in the history of the NBA probably had. It's so small that I called it micro ball, Junior. They were trying to compete with one of the greatest dynasties that sports has seen in that Warriors run. And we're judging him by losing to the playoffs to that dynasty on top of it, the way he played the game that kept them in the mix. You can miss me with that. Like, we could have given him a little bit more love, a little less criticism, a little bit more understanding and appreciation. But again, like you said, this is an aesthetics argument where people don't like fouls. People don't like step backs unless it's someone else doing it. And so, I mean, you have a right to be critical, but we also had a right to celebrate. And I don't think we did enough celebrating. And now, because he's on a different team, we feel like it's okay to do so.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbunbake. I think we properly celebrated 2 of 13 against the Warriors in Game 7 in 2018.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, okay, he ran out of gas in the playoffs. I would run out of gas, too, if I played 82 games and had to average 40 points a game. And then finally in the playoffs where everyone's game-planning the whole team defense against the Warriors, which was a number one team defense as a unit, even though we talk about their offense was gearing up against you, life is not easy. And guess what? Each year he had a different team. Dwight Howard joins in. We're going to do a whole team. Chris Paul joins. Russell Westbrook trying to figure this out consistently. Instead, the dynasty of the Warriors was building from scratch, built their chemistry, and had that on lock. Like, it's not so easy. And what James Harden has done in this league has made the hard look easy consistently, but it's only good because he's wearing a Brooklyn Nets jersey and he's passing more because it's aesthetics instead of just celebrating what he was back then too.
I think it's also context, though, and this is the interesting part of the MVP conversation going forward, because it's the context of the expectations. When they came over and when he came over to Brooklyn, we said, my God, these three personalities, how are they going to mesh? And you know what we've seen? Nothing. We have seen no issues there. We have seen quality basketball. And so I think relative to our expectations, Jhené, that makes it interesting. And that's what makes down the stretch of the season really fascinating. Because right now when we look at the MVP race, if we're talking about the top three, Joel Embiid's going to be there. But with the other two, with James Harden and with LeBron James, we have two big forces entering back into this conversation. And so I want to ask you, Kevin Durant coming back, Anthony Davis coming back. Both of those guys, great players on teams with MVP candidates. Which of those guys has a bigger effect coming back, and is it positive or negative?
Positive for the Lakers, Anthony Davis coming back, because with the Lakers skid losing, what is it, about 6 of 8 without AD, it can't help LeBron James's MVP campaign, because when he comes back and if they start winning, clearly people are going to say, well, Anthony Davis is the reason why you're winning. You compare that to now, is it James Harden and KD coming back? We've all known KD has been probably the most unproblematic of the big three when it comes to his game. Like, he can go out there, James could be there, Kyrie could be there, or neither of them could be there, and he's still going to get you 30 points per game. So there's less of a narrative because James Harden has kept them afloat, and I think that's a positive in a different way than it is a positive for the Lakers.
I agree. I think because of how that set up, what he did when the lineup was volatile around him, James Harden held it down coming over there on short notice. And so I'm with you. Even when KD comes back, his greatness is still going to be accentuated by the thing James Harden's been lauded for. You mentioned the assist numbers. James Harden's got an even more potent threat to get the ball to in those spots. But why I'm not totally out on LeBron James when Anthony Davis comes back is because that strength of schedule of the teams in contention, they've got one of the toughest back half of the seasons lined up for the Lakers. And Jhené, last year, around this time, actually, before the whole world shut down and everything started going away with the pandemic, what were we talking about with LeBron James late in the season?
They just beat the Bucks. They just beat the Clippers. They beat, like, 3 or 4 of the top teams in the league.
When you've got those opportunities, because this is as much like a Heisman Trophy campaign as anything, is any of the MVP awards, it's how many opportunities in front of us, in front of national television eyes, are you going to have? And I have a feeling the Lakers are going to have plenty. And so, yeah, if they're winning more games because AD is out there, that's going to get noticed. But if LeBron is still the engine that makes it go, and he just needs a little bit more help, I still think he's going to get plenty of credit for that.
This is the best way to describe it. This MVP race this year is LeBron James's to lose, period.
Huh. Very interesting.
Period. If they win, AD comes back, and he's the dominant force, he will dictate it. But if not, that's when James Harden and Joel Embiid will be like, it's my time.
LeBron James MVP to lose as we head into All-Star Weekend in the NBA, according to Jhené Egbunbake. Going to be very interesting now to watch how that non-rest time, because we saw LeBron James stayed behind the other night with that ankle injury. Well, we'll see, you know, real or not, getting some rest going into a weekend that he thought he was going to have off and going
Same
into
with
that
Luka.
Back half.
There's a couple people doing it.
Listen, I was going to say, they're not slick, but this is what needs to happen right now, especially.
Oh, and that's what the All-Star Game MVP is going to be really fun, because if LeBron sees other people winning, he's like, let me actually hold up real quick. Let me win this thing real quick.
I was going to say, watch him get competitive. Like, it's like every All-Star game, every sort of Pro Bowl, it's the fourth quarter hits and people realize there's money or adulation on the line. And they look up and go, all right, bet. Maybe we will check this thing a little bit, play some defense. Now, that's going to be a gift this weekend. If you want to give a gift to someone, give them ESPN Plus. Thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. But coming up next, one group is making a push to give young players options. Why that should scare the establishment? And remind us to be cautious at the same time. That's next. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chinay, this is a show, I think, as much as any show out there, especially considering our backgrounds. Played my college football at Notre Dame. You played your college hoops at Stanford. And always is going to skew towards the athlete here. And so when conversations come up around the NCAA, around name, image, and likeness, we tend to fall on one side of all this. And I think that's for good reason, because it's a life we've lived and one we've lived recently here. And so we know what goes into making the product that most people see from the outside looking in their whole lives. It gets interesting when we start to keep advancing the ball on this one right now. And that's what we're seeing in the world of basketball. The ball being advanced in a big way and more options being given to young athletes. And that's never going to be without its drawbacks. And so to dive deep on a new league and a new outlet for young basketball players, we want to do it in something we call one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, Chinay, this is interesting. Over time, the group is set to launch a professional high school basketball league that plays payers $100,000. Each athlete's going to earn a guaranteed minimum salary of at least $100,000, plus bonuses and equity in overtime. The overtime elite athletes are also going to receive full health care coverage and disability insurance coverage. Overtime's also guaranteeing up to $100,000 for college tuition should each athlete decide not to pursue a professional basketball career. This would be 16 to 18-year-old players, Chinay. And in general, I believe options are the enemy of the establishment. So as we look to push the NCAA to be a little more forward-thinking on the way it helps athletes monetize their time in college sports, I think this and things like this are always a net benefit, what we've seen with the G League. But we know this is also going to come with a new set of things that players are going to have to watch out for, fears we have for young athletes being put in this spot where they've got to make these decisions and make them early.
And that is my biggest worry, knowing that if you're a 16-year-old or 15 or 14 making a decision whether you want to go and play for a university, a college, or if you want to go into this pseudo-professional league, there are a lot of people that maybe don't have the people in their ear to say, hey, maybe college would be better for you to get that experience, get that training, right? Instead, everyone thinks that their child is a star, so everyone will be shooting their shot for this league. That's the only thing that really worries me. There are a lot more benefits, which first and foremost, good for you, Overtime Basketball, for figuring this out in a way that the NBA has sort of talked about. I think LeVar Ball tried to do not too long ago.
Yes, absolutely.
But for the people that said, hey, you know, when we have NCAA tournaments and these athletes that want to go one and done, this is not fair. This is exactly what happens when you cry about that, because now you're going to get these students that choose to go to the university, and you're not going to get those athletes potentially that could have been there a year or two and then declared themselves to the NBA draft. Now there's a separation here, so you don't have to have that same refrain saying, oh, it's not fair that this one and done thing works. Goodbye to that with this Overtime Basketball League. And Junior, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic, because the G League sort of started the conversation when they said, hey, we're going to have a developmental league. And on top of that, we're going to create two-way contracts, a select team, so that there's a different pathway for those players that might want to go and play a year or so professionally overseas, then come back, get in the G League, maybe get a little experience with the NBA. Now this is the next step forward for the next generation. I'm just hoping that these young hoopers have the right people telling them what is good for you, because everyone thinks they're a star, especially at that age. But really, this is a good option to have, but hopefully, like, the system can find a way that not everyone's shooting their shot and missing.
Janae Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, Overtime launching a professional high school basketball league, going to play payers a fair amount of money. And Janae, those are understandable concerns. It'd be foolish to think that there aren't going to be some negatives when this comes about, that we're not going to have to learn some hard lessons. But I think ultimately it's pointed in the right direction, and it does create an outlet because maybe some players need that money right now. I had a number of teammates, and I'm sure you did too, who were forced to grow up a lot faster than most people should, forced to contribute to their house's money coming in a lot faster than they should. Hell, it tends to blend into the impropriety that we see in college where players are getting handouts, players are getting money behind the scenes. But what we've got here is also something that points in a positive direction in another way. Overtime athletes who will compete against each other would also have options in the classroom. They'd be afforded a direct instruction model led by individual instructors who will teach both one-on-one and in small group settings with a 4-to-1 student-teacher ratio. Education would be around financial literacy, media training, mental health, and social justice advocacy as a part of the curriculum. And so, Janae, if you can do all these things and
Wait, first of all, can we do snaps for the curriculum?
Yeah.
What a curriculum.
Well, and you know what, Janae, it's important to say that that sounds great stated. In execution, we're going to need to see it followed through on, because I know another organization that makes promises about what it's going to afford the players that come and play for them. The NCAA and all the colleges that these kids can go in, there are always going to be benefits to the stages and the bright light. We're getting ready to see it in March Madness right now in college, but I will never put down something that seems like a stable option for young people to want to explore, because it's going to continue to force the feet to the flames for the NCAA, for its member institutions, the Power Five, to make their product a better ground for the athletes to come and play for them.
And you know that there's an appetite for it. What do we see on ESPN? Not just the NBA and the WNBA, but we also see some of those top games, especially when they're star players. Can you imagine having a situation where Zion, as a part of this league, is getting paid and compensated so you get rid of those problems, and now you can showcase him and get money through those TV deals? So this is a business, and that business likely will boom. Again, I love this idea for these athletes. I just hope that not everyone is shooting their shot thinking that, you know, everyone's going to be a star. More so, assessing, all right, this is a pathway that I can go. I could also go to college and get my degree, knowing that I can have the resources and, you know, infrastructure there and network there. Or I can just find a different way. Maybe it's not sports for me. Having options is the best thing, because then you get rid of the problems with the NCAA where, oh, this person only came, didn't take classes, used our university, and then left. A lot of the criticisms of fans are like that. And unfortunately, guess what? This has forced a hand, and now you've created a completely different league that finally the athletes can benefit from. And obviously, you know, the most important thing is transform their lives, rightfully so, being the young adults, because we know the youngins, they grew up earlier than we did. Like, it's a different world for them with technology and business and branding and social media. And so for them to be able to capitalize that on that, if they so choose, that is their right. And that's exactly why we fight for the players' rights.
And we hope that this becomes something stable. It's a group of 30-person basketball operations team led by NBA executive Aaron Ryan as league commissioner, and president and NBA champion, former Sacramento Kings assistant GM Brandon Williams is the executive VP and head of basketball operations. Janae, you bring up an excellent point with the G League. That has the NBA's backing. We'll see if this ever gets official NBA support, what that relationship looks like as we try and make sure this is a place financially stable enough to deliver on the promises being made right here. But again, more options in my mind and in your mind, always better for these young athletes to try and make sure the system is working for them. Coming up next, though, on the other side of all of this, something that unfortunately pops up all too often in the world of college athletics is impropriety and abuse of power. The latest on what's gone on and the accusations now brought forth against former LSU and current Kansas head football coach Les Miles. We'll get to that next, and we'll do it here on ESPN Radio after this word from Omaha Steaks. Now, when it comes to Omaha Steaks, it comes to flavor, tenderness, value. All great things. No one comes close to Omaha Steaks. You try the Butcher's Best Sellers Grill Pack, which includes four of their iconic filet mignons, four ultra juicy grilled burgers, and four savory pork chops, desserts, and so much more. And right now, I promise you, it's this easy. Enter Golic, G-O-L-I-C, in the search bar. And you're not only going to get a special price on that, but you're also going to get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers, all for free, just by entering Golic in that search bar. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in Golic in the search bar, and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, four free chicken breasts, four burgers. All you got to do, go to omahasteaks.com and put that keyword Golic in the search bar. Back after this, Janae Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike were presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jhené, this was news that we saw come down during the show today concerning former LSU head football coach and current Kansas head football coach Les Miles. A story written in USA Today outlines allegations made against the former coach, and that article written by Nancy Armour, Jessica Luther, and Kenny Jacoby, and says at the height of his fame at LSU as the head football coach, Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion, kissing a student and suggesting they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her career, according to an internal investigation that was released by LSU on Thursday, Jhené. And reading this, we had a chance to talk to Kenny Jacoby earlier today from USA Today. It is amazing. It is how not stunning it is to hear about something like this going on, especially in the world of college athletics. Like, that's the unfortunate feeling that I keep coming back to, is reading this is an obvious abuse of power. It is straight out of the misogyny playbook in the workplaces that we've seen time and time again. And this is something that they managed to keep sealed going back to 2013 that is now just unearthed, because these reporters were looking into other instances of LSU and accusations of sexual impropriety that were being poorly handled by the school, and get a tip on this.
Yeah, and they were getting tipped off based on, you know, the lack of accountability that it presents when this is internal completely, right? I think the hardest thing for me to we all know that things like this are happening in society. And it's extremely unfortunate. And the best case scenario is it serves as a deterrent when you see this happening to people. Now you're like, how do I move in my spaces? How do I make people feel? This was a blatant disregard for the young women who are just now trying to find their voice at a university where we are discovering how to be adults. And that abuse of power translates towards them having a harrowing, you know, experience while they're in college. And so my heart goes out first and foremost to them. But when I look at this situation overall, I understand the rehabilitation process where people make mistakes, you call them out on those mistakes, you do an investigation, and that person moves better forward, you know, forward. But I do think that the reason why this happened with USA Today is because without that public knowledge, you don't know if this actually was really addressed. Those repercussions actually meant justice in the form of what those young women went through at the university. And that's the most frustrating part, because we now see, obviously, he has a role with the University of Kansas as head coach. But you wonder, in the interim, was that, you know, it being sealed, did that sort of allow a comfort level where those victims, their situation was never addressed?
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And that's just it, Jhené. The idea of rehabilitation or seeing someone move on from mistakes they made requires that we know about them to begin with. And instead, what we had in this instance was Les Miles behind the scenes at LSU was, this was investigated, this went on, he basically got a slap on the wrist, he had to attend 8 one-hour sessions with an attorney during that process, and was told to not have one-on-one contact with students, to have them engaged outside of work, asking them to be babysitters in the way that he had in this spot before, and then this document was sealed. And as we heard from Kenny Jacoby, USA Today reporter who was one of the three reporters writing this, this was something that the university fought getting out into the public. USA Today had to sue for this in January, and that's what Kenny Jacoby told us about when he joined the show earlier here today.
This seemed to have been a plan from the very beginning. We got this record through the public records law in Louisiana, but at the time that they were conducting this investigation, it appears as if their theory was, if they hire an outside law firm to do the investigation, then it can all be protected under the attorney-client privilege. And so when we requested it just a few months ago, sure enough, that is what they cited, attorney-client privilege. They also said that Les Miles' privacy rights under the Louisiana Constitution would be violated. And then Miles argued the same thing, too, when he joined in our court fight last month.
And so now it's out there, Chinee, and that's not the only thing that's going to be coming out soon, because remember, they only got to this story because USA Today was investigating other allegations of sexual misconduct and the mishandling of them by the department and the broader administration. That report, which has been done by an outside law firm in Hush Blackwell that started in November, is slated to be released publicly on Friday, and it's expected, according to this article, to reveal even more about Miles' conduct during his time at LSU, according to two sources with direct knowledge of the probe. So, Chinee, looking at this now, in this situation, it unfortunately seems to follow the rubric we've seen before of someone in power using that power in a way. I mean, the oldest cliche line of, I can help your career, and holding that over someone's head, usually specifically young women in these situations, in a way that is, as you brought up, is such a deterrent to the people that you want around the building, a deterrent to people who offer a valuable perspective. Having women in the building like that, and now you have that pushing back. I don't know what's going to happen with Kansas and Jeff Long. I think if they want to fire him, it's going to be a pretty easy out based on what's happened on the football field for the Jayhawks in the last 2 years, but that still remains to be seen because Kansas had the out of saying, we didn't know. These were sealed documents at the time, and we had no idea when we hired Les.
And Junior, I want to contrast what we just talked about with Les Miles and an issue happening that is very severe involving the direct implications of what he did with young women, which is a different scenario with what happened recently with Creighton, because we know that Creighton men's basketball coach Greg McDermott, you know, previously apologized for urging his players to stay on the plantation. He said it. He immediately apologized. He went public. He posted it to his Twitter. The university acknowledged it. And we found out today that he tried to resign, offered to resign. And guess what happened? Because he acknowledged his mistake, we all heard about it. There was transparency. His team said, no, 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 no. We don't want you to resign. We're in the middle of a season, and we want you to continue to be our coach. So you can contrast those two scenarios. And while they, you know, the mistakes are on different levels, clearly, I do acknowledge here that Greg McDermott did the thing that was most transparent, most honest, and guess what? It was received probably the best, and now he still has his job, and his team is actually saying, you know what? I can get this heartfelt, you know, energy and emotion, and let's move forward based on your contrition here.
Yeah, Chinee, I think that's a great point. And I heard Myra Metcalf, who does a great job covering college hoops for us, say he thought he should have been suspended at least a game because that's what would have been levied against a player. The idea that there should have been a penalty there, and hearing him offer his resignation behind closed doors is something that gets close to that, and it's something that is completely missing and completely absent from the situation described here. Instead, what we get is documents that were sealed, things that were kept behind closed doors, and now time allowed to pass where we don't know if this has happened to other people. We don't know how much worse it gets, but it sounds like we will be finding out more on this tomorrow as other documents, an entire finding, the report done by another law firm addressing what's gone on at LSU, expected to be released on Friday, tomorrow, and reveal even more about this situation. So we'll keep an eye on those things that happen. And was it unfortunately a familiar refrain in the abuse of power by someone inside an organization and it directly affecting young women involved in that situation? Coming up next, we will switch back to what we normally deal with in the world of sports and some unexpected words. Players actually telling the truth in public about a quarterback dilemma in one room. How it surprised me next here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Reminder, as always, if you missed any of Chinee and Golic Jr. today, make sure you check out the podcast. Kendrick Perkins, kind enough to join us, our ESPN NBA analyst. Dan Orlovsky, our Uncle Dan, fresh off Disney World. ESPN NFL analyst and former quarterback, kind enough to join us. And Kenny Jacoby, USA Today reporter, who was part of the group that reported on the allegations that have now surfaced after unsealed documents were sued for and acquired with allegations against Les Miles, former LSU head football coach, current Kansas head football coach. You can read more on that at USA Today. You can listen to it in the Chinee and Golic Jr. podcast. You can also check out First Take, Her Take, hosted by our own Chinee Agwumike, Charlie Arnold, and Kimberly A. Martin. The podcast discusses and debates the biggest sports stories, delves into other topics, life, culture, all that good stuff. Drops every Wednesday, so dropped yesterday for you guys. New episode each and every week. And
yeah, this one, I'm trying to think of, what did we do this one? Oh, yeah, we talked about the logo.
The logo. All right, there we go. So we got logo conversation, and as we know and announced yesterday on the show, the First Take Her Take Takeover Hour next Monday on Shanae and Golic Jr. That whole crew going to be coming through here and holding it down in the 5 o'clock hour, and I'm going to get out of the way and let the smart, talented people do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because the whole conversation is going to be wild. We spill each other's tea, but we also drop some knowledge, so it'll be fun.
Exactly. It's the best of both worlds in there, so make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcast, and make sure you check that out 5 o'clock Eastern next Monday on Shanae and Golic Jr. But now, we have made it. We are so close. Friday Eve right now, and so as we get ready to roll into the weekend, we keep that same energy bringing it home. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Shanae and Golic Jr.
And Shanae, we've got spring training underway in Major League Baseball, and we've also got an announcement. This from our ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. The Major League Baseball is going to hold a sport-wide Lou Gehrig Day starting this season, honoring the Hall of Fame Yankees first baseman whose grace and courage fighting the horrible disease in ALS inspired a group of those affected by the disease to make June 2nd synonymous with him. The MLB announced the plans this morning, including an annual tribute, which uniformed personnel will wehr a jersey patch celebrating Gehrig, and a 4 ALS logo commemorating his number 4 will be displayed around all stadiums coming up to celebrate that. A great tribute to someone that unfortunately was lost in a disease that we know is such a scourge.
Yes, and using this as a platform to help, you know, hopefully, you know, drive funds or even potentially just support those that are still dealing with that same thing. So yes, I love this.
Absolutely. Want to see that energy kept going forward. No doubt about that. Shanae, this is energy I was a bit surprised by on this side, because normally when you're asked to choose, when you're talking about teammates, your favorite kid, whatever it is, you give the stock answer that I love all my kids the same. I love everybody the same. Former Alabama wide receiver Jalen Waddle and former Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith both, when asked publicly who they prefer to the two quarterbacks, the two likely first-round quarterbacks that they shared a room and a field with in Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa, actually both said on the NFL Network, and I know I saw Jalen Waddle on there of two different programs, say that they preferred Mac Jones. In a way that I'm shocked by. Now, I understand for these two guys, you can game it out a little bit. Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, both, certainly for Devonta Smith, more association with Mac Jones, what happened on the field this year. Jalen Waddle, who was injured a lot of this year, is actually a little more confusing to me. But today, how surprised are you by the honesty of these teammates saying they would actually choose one quarterback over the other?
I'm not surprised at all. This next generation of athletes, these Gen Zers, they want the smoke. They really do. They'll give you an answer straight up, even if you don't like it or not. What was your reaction, Junior? Because this is interesting.
I was shocked, man. Like, I know these Gen Z kids love middle parts and making fun of our jeans and stuff like that, but good Lord, like, you know.
Wait,
both of these guys.
Thing? I know, right? They chose violence. What's the jeans thing?
I don't know. Gen Z kids on TikTok have something against the jeans that we millennials wear. I don't know. This is why I stay off those platforms. I'm a little scared. What, Jake?
Maybe because
Jake,
all you do is talk about the jorts. So
they
like
think
that's...
that skinny jeans are lame, which is what we grew up to aspire to fit into.
Yeah, like, and like, I guess this endless cycle of aging people out is what happens. Like, we always make fun of the gigantic 90s suits that NBA players wore.
Oh,
so.
Man, those are great. But have we not told them, hey, yo, fashion is cyclical? Like, it all comes back and it, you know, goes forward and all that type of stuff.
I like to treat fashion the way that people treat it out where you are in Los Angeles, Janae. Wear whatever you want with enough confidence and somehow it works.
And that's for me. It's always leggings and hoodie, baby.
Leggings and hoodie. You can never go wrong with that. The universal solvent when it comes with outfits. But Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio has to end on this note. LeBron James released a sneak peek of Space Jam, A New Legacy, today. And I thought we were going to get LeBron Jordan takes, and instead everybody is talking about a female rabbit.
What's the deal with Lola? Tell me exactly what's the controversy on social media.
The social media controversy is over a change in body type for Lola Rabbit, which is insanely social media at its core right now. You guys
are weird.
Good
job saying that.
You guys are weirdos out there, all right? Weirdos. Lay off and focus on LeBron James and the battle between him and Michael Jordan for movie supremacy on the NBA courts.
So you're telling me that you never were like, ooh, Lola Bunny growing up? Because every boy that I've heard is like, ooh, Lola Bunny.
No, I would listen.
You weren't?
No, when I was coming up and when these things were going on, I was too busy thinking about James Harden missing clutch shots late in games in the playoffs.
All right, let me see what your three look like.
my three granny? Look like?
You're a granny, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Come on now,
keep
lock
that same
in.
Energy.
Always
you're probably
here.
The type that, you know, shoots a granny from the free throw line. But it's all good.
I know Jason Fitz definitely is, and he's coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.